Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And if you remembered the last show, if you heard the last show, we talked about that the playing cards actually represent the structure of life. And because of that, tarot cards have been able to exist because they are the story of life. You can't have the story of life unless there's a structure underneath it. So we learned that principle. But now we've got to look at what that principle means. So we're going to examine the cards in terms of how they're structured to structure life and how they help us understand life and each other. And so to help us do that is our card expert and the author of Play Your Cards Right, Alexander Dunlop. Welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Pleasure to be here.
So in the last show, I'm glad we could do these subsequently, we did really understand the importance of playing cards and how they help us understand, you know, the underlying nature of life, even let's say numerologically and geometrically. So I know that you've been getting a lot of downloads. You have a lot of information about this, and I think it's very profound stuff that our audience would love. So where do you want to start?
Well, thank you, Peter. I feel like you already started us off on the right foot by reminding everyone that the deck of cards actually revealed the foundational building blocks of reality. And they do that by showing us visually the symbols of these building blocks. So we can see, once we know how to look for it, in the pip structure on the card. So the
arrangement. When you say pip structure, we know you mean the symbols.
The arrangement of the symbols, the arrangement of the suit symbols, that it's actually a visual language. And this is what was lost for a long time, how to read this visual language. And this visual language reveals to us the building blocks of reality itself. And each card represents a different energy frequency that is part of the building blocks of reality. Almost like if we're thinking about string theory and quantum theory, that there are vibrating strings of quantum energy that make up our reality as we know it. At the most basic fundamental level that we could possibly look, we have these vibrating strings that make up our reality. And what if there was a tool that showed us how to interpret these building blocks of reality?
Right, and we know that vibrations actually create form.
Yeah.
And you can see that, for instance, by making sounds. And if you have a surface that the sounds vibrate on, there might be particles of sand on the surface, and they'll take geometric forms.
Right. So that's really powerful insight, that different vibrations create different forms. And each of the 13 cards in the four suits, they have different forms. And so they represent different vibrational frequencies, and the forms that are constructed from those frequencies are represented in the suit arrangement, the symbolic arrangement.
I think this is very important, that cards are not just visual. They actually are awarenesses of frequencies, of vibrations that create form.
Yes.
And so it's all about vibes. Cards give us our personality vibes. And, you know, it's not just something on paper. Yeah, I think it's wonderful just to think that way about them and understand that these are windows to the vibes that we all are living with.
Well, that's right. And that we're all the time giving off. And as a fun, simple example, whenever I meet someone who's born to play a king card, I'll often ask them, I'll say, were you put in positions of leadership growing up? Did people just assume that you were an authority? And they always say yes. That's just their vibe.
Or that people look up to them and follow them just because they look up to them.
Yeah. And they didn't know why growing up, and maybe they liked it or they didn't like it, but always that was the vibe that they gave off that other people picked up on.
Right. But now, see, what we're going to talk about is that most people are used to seeing the royal cards, Jack, Queen, and King, with drawings, illustrations of royalty, and yet underneath it is a structure of the symbols of the suits that actually have a particular form to them. So maybe we should look at that.
Well, we can. We can start there if you want, for sure. Yes, in the medieval times when these cards first surfaced in the public domain, even though they have an ancient history, when they first surfaced in the public domain in Europe in the 14th century, the number 11, the number 12, and the number 13 all got royal iconography placed on them. So the Jack, Queen, King, the 11, 12, 13. But the 11, 12, and 13 also have symbolic arrangements. They also have forms, as we're talking about.
They could actually look like the other cards without the pictures.
That's right. And they do. And I had a deck printed that restores the original sacred geometry, the forms that these 11 and 12 and 13 would take.
So what does the king look like?
So the king looks like a long rectangle with a line through it, or you could see it as two shorter lines with a longer line through the middle of it. And there's many ways to interpret this symbolism. One is that this is the symbol in the Chinese language for the middle way. When you have a rectangle with a line through it, that's the Chinese character for the middle way, which is a symbol that's often referenced in Buddhism. That what you really want to do in life is you want to find the middle way where you're not attached to either extreme. And we can read that in the symbolism that they have one side or the other side, but you want to carve your way down the middle. And there's a wisdom in finding the middle path.
Right. And generally, kings want to be the authority of maintaining a kingdom that works.
Well, right. And so if you're born to play a king card, or let's say it's your personality card, or it's an important place in your life path, because we all have 13 cards in our life path. Let's say you have a king card in Jupiter, which would be how to make more money in life, how to be more abundant. Then you're going to want to know this principle of the fundamental wisdom of the middle way, which is to not be attached to one way or the other, but to find the middle path between the two extremes.
Which one might be the strongest path?
Yes, well, and it'll be the strongest, but most importantly, it'll be your own path that you've carved for yourself.
What, your true path?
Yes.
But that's the middle way, but then there are two columns of numbers on either side of it.
Well, that's right. And so then the other way we can read the same symbolism is, like I said, you have a short line and then a long line through the middle and then another short line on the other side. And the way we can read this without getting too technical, it's like a Hegelian dialectic, which you don't even know what that means, but it's the idea that there's a thesis and an antithesis. There's a this or a that, an either or, one or the other. And the role of the king is to find the pathway between the two, where you might get pushed and shoved around. You might get jostled by either side. Like one side wants you to do one thing and another side wants you to do another.
Yeah, that's the politics that surround the king.
Well, that's right. And so you may feel like you're jostled from both sides or pushed from both sides. And yet it's important to stay in your integrity and your own authority and find your own true path between the two extremes.
That's wonderful to know. Thank you.
And so, yeah, and the symbolism on the card was obscured for many reasons, and a king was placed over the top of this symbolism. It is helpful. It's like, yes, be a king, be a leader, be an authority. But the symbolism shows us exactly what that means and exactly how to do that.
That's great. And so, but it also, because of the politics around the king, being a king is dangerous.
Well, you get pushed from both sides.
or let's say even attacked from
both sides. You know, everybody's got an opinion of what they want you to do. And then if you're a wise leader, you ultimately choose the middle path, the path that's authentic to you. And the middle path is really, in Buddhism, the idea of being unattached. That's really what it means, that you're not attached to any one outcome. You're not attached to this way, or you're not attached to that way, but you're authentic. And you're
that's why a king has to have authority, because a king is authentic.
It takes authority to be authentic, yeah.
Or authenticity to be an authority.
Well, that too. Otherwise, you won't respect the authority, because it'll be insincere or fake.
And many kings haven't known how to be kings. So, you know, we have a long history of kings in trouble and not lasting long, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the ideal kingship.
Right. And so I imagine it would be really helpful for anyone who's born to play a king card to know this, that you may be jostled from both sides, and it's important to remain unattached to either one.
Great. So let's come down, let's slide down to the queen.
Well, the queen, the symbolism is of a rectangle, these three lines in a row. And it forms, when we restore the length of the card to the golden rectangle, it is the golden rectangle. And so that, for people who don't know, the golden rectangle is the sacred geometric form that we automatically consider beautiful. It's the proportion, the ratio of length to width that the human eye naturally considers beautiful. And it's the length that temples, like Greek temples, were built in these proportions. And mathematically, we won't go into the mathematics of exactly the numbers of how it's formed, but it is a mathematical proportion that comes out of the Fibonacci number sequence, which is the sequence of how nature grows, like how many leaves are on a plant will follow the Fibonacci sequence as the plant blooms. So this is a naturally occurring mathematical sequence that, when you map it out, forms a golden spiral, which forms the golden rectangle, which is the symbol of beauty and perfection. And so—
And strength too.
Well, yes, strength, natural strength, because there's a natural order and a natural symmetry. And so then again, the picture that gets placed over the top is that of a queen. And we can colloquially get the idea that it's about beauty and feminine perfection, and she's the consort of the king. And the idea, the deeper idea, is that when the king is leading the way truly, he forms this perfect golden rectangle. So there's a male-female consort type of relationship between the middle path of the wisdom of the middle path, and then this golden spiral that gets formed.
I love that.
So then, if you're born to play a queen card, the idea for you is to respect the process, to be in the process of this unfolding, that there's a perfect symmetry of how life is unfolding, how your life is unfolding. And unfortunately, many people playing a queen card, they get impatient or perfectionistic. They want it yesterday. And yet their role is to be nurturing and advocating for this perfect unfolding of reality.
That's wonderful. And that's why queens should know this information.
Right. And it's all symbolically represented in the fact that once you take the queen off the card, you see the arrangement of the 12 symbols is in this form of a rectangle that follows this golden proportion. So then you're like, aha, that's what the real meaning is of this queen symbol.
So how do jacks fit into this?
Well, the jack may be the most interesting of all the characters. And you take the...
I'm a jack, so I appreciate
When you take the face of the jack off, what you're left with visually is a cube inside of a structure. And what this is symbolically referring to is Metatron's cube.
But wait a second. It's not a square, it's a cube.
Yes.
Because there's, you don't have, like the queen, you have three equal columns.
That's right.
But with this, you don't. You have
a cube inside of a four. You have a cube inside of a walled garden or a cube inside of a structure.
So you have three, three, and four. No, you couldn't have.
You have four, 11. Three, four. Four, three, four.
Oh, four, three, four. Good.
And so the outer four form a square, and then inside the other seven form a cube, if you look at it three-dimensionally.
Wow. But that should be very stable. The Jacks are explorers and experimenters.
Well, what Metatron's cube, and again, we're going quickly here in this sacred geometric language, Metatron's cube, which comes out of the flower of life, and if your listeners want to, they can do a simple internet search and just type in Metatron's cube. It is a sacred geometric form that emerges out of the flower of life. And within Metatron's cube are all the building blocks of reality, all the Platonic solids. And so again, the light bulb goes off like, aha, this is what the Jack is really about, generating all the different building blocks of reality. It's a generative energy.
So yeah, it's in flux.
It's continually generating. So if you're born to play a Jack energy, you've got a lot of ideas. You're continually generating new ideas and new forms. And the danger is to be a Jack of all trades, but master of none, because you have so many good ideas, you don't know which one to go with.
Yeah, I gave up a long time ago. So it's fascinating to understand that these geometries are really what's at play, no matter what we call it.
Right. And it helps us to recognize the deeper value of this system when we remove the medieval iconography. And it's not about a king or a queen or a jack. These are just visual symbols placed over the top of the real meaning in the sacred geometry.
But it means something historically, that they've been chosen
to
have these titles. And so we have to accept the fact that that becomes part of our psyche.
100%. I mean, what's fascinating, if you look up Metatron's cube, the name Metatron is the name of an angel that's considered second in command in heaven. Then the Jack is the prince who is second in command.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe the queen would be, depends on her ego. But the Jack certainly is a king in waiting.
The Jack is a king in waiting, and the king and the queen are really male and female consorts of the same principle. And the Jack, the 11 and the 10 are also male female consorts of the same principle.
So when we come down to the 10, why didn't the 10 ever get illustrated nicely?
You know, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer, except that anyone who I've ever met who's born to play a 10 card, they're always in search of their face in the eyes of others. They're always looking for approval and validation to find out who they are in the faces of others. And so it's a very interesting thing about the 10 energy, that they are intuitively aware that they don't have a face, that they're trying to get approval and accolades from others as a way to know who they are.
And yet, it's very vulnerable because the feedback isn't necessarily supportive.
No, that's right. It's dangerous. So actually, for the 10, it is the symbolism. Again, if your radio listeners, it may be hard to see this, but maybe you can visualize it. You have the four symbols on the corners again, and then on the inside, you have six symbols. If you draw triangles between them, you will get the Star of David, the six-pointed star. And the symbolism of the 10 is this intersection of heaven and earth. this point of confluence. And all people with the 10 energy, they're all wonderful entertainers. They all can bring forth something out of nothing. This idea of the coming together of the divine trinity and the human trinity, and then this coming together, something is born from it.
But I'm also thinking about the heaven and earth, meaning that royalty, let's call it heaven, and earth are all the people who are seeking to be supported by royalty. And the princess is often in the middle. She's often sought out for people who want to have access to the kingdom.
That's right. It is an intermediary, intercessory kind of energy. Absolutely.
All right. So calling it heaven and earth together represents that she represents that heaven, but she's dealing with earth.
Well, and that may be why in our collective consciousness of this knowledge, because it's fascinating that no one can claim credit for why these things are the way they are. Like there's almost like an organic growth of this information. It just takes this shape and this form because there's a deep truth that's being expressed through this formation. And why it is that the 10 doesn't have a face, it somehow represents in our collective consciousness this idea, Peter, that you're getting at, of that she's an intercessor. And she doesn't quite have her own face yet because she's creating that face.
Yeah, that's what the princess would be doing.
Yeah.
And I think historically many princesses have had struggles in their identity.
Yes. And we see it often in our celebrity culture. Someone gets famous and they can't handle the fame. It's too much.
Because of the expectations.
Yeah. And what it does to their identity and their ego. So,
And I'm thinking, for instance, of this singer, songwriter, Prince. And he was a 10.
He was a 10 playing, yeah. A lot of the most famous one, Michael Jackson, playing a double 10 energy.
Yeah, so they were doing all they could to fulfill the public's needs.
Well, and so this is what I was saying before about the 11 and the 10 being the male and female principle of the same idea of bringing forth something out of nothing, this confluence of creativity and generativity, where the 11 is the masculine, the generative, and the 10 is the female or the receptive. But at a deeper level, it means being receptive to what is heavenly and transmitting that on the earthly plane. It's like being a channel and a transmitter by being as receptive as they are.
So what I'm thinking is that people who are born to these higher numbers have great responsibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all dealing with our own other cards, and I think we'll have to do that in a subsequent show, is to look at the geometry of these other cards that most of us have and how they fit into the picture.
Well, and you're hitting on something important, Peter, which is that the royal cards, as I call them, in the next decade, the 10, 11, 12, 13, they do feel a tremendous burden of responsibility whenever I've worked with them, coached them. And so then I often will say to someone who's a client, they find out their cards to play for the first time, and let's say they're born to play a 3 or a 5. Often, not always, it will happen that they'll be like, oh man, I wanted to be a king. Why am I not a queen or something? Like, listen, you don't know what you're asking for. These royals have a hard time.
Yeah. And I know it's amazing. My son his birth card is a queen, and his personality card is a king. And he's always dealing with so much pressure from others who expect him to lead and also to harmonize.
So, well, and not just pressure from others, Peter, he puts a lot of pressure on himself.
Yes, he does, because he understands how important he is to all the people around him.
Well, this is what we're talking about, this intuitively felt pressure that the royals feel that you're describing, that, and these vibes, as we started off the show talking about, we're always aware of these vibrations and we're intuitively aware of it about ourselves as well. And your son playing a queen with a king personality, he's intuitively aware that the pressure's on him.
Yeah, and he's actually rising to the occasion as much as he can. But it's tough because the expectations of so many people for him to really guide them and support them is huge.
Yeah. And as I often say to people with similar cards, like a queen or a king, you know, it's up to you to lead. If you don't lead, then we'll be stuck with shitty leaders. We'll be stuck with people who really don't have the integrity or the authority to truly lead.
Yeah, he has tremendous integrity.
Yeah. Most of the kings and queens usually do. They're aware of it. They know that they can't transgress that. And then often it's lower numbers who were not necessarily fit to lead. I mean, I'm born to play the Nine of Hearts. And when I found out I was the Nine of Hearts, I was like, oh man, I want to be the King of Hearts. And yet it was actually really liberating for me to be like, you know what? I don't actually want to lead. You guys lead. Uh-huh. I'll just support you. That's my role with the Nine of Hearts. I'm happy in that role.
That's great. So we're really at the end of the show. And your website is thesourcecards.com.
That's it.
And people can go there, they can find out their card and cards of others and get your book, Play Your Cards Right. And you have so much to offer everybody. It's great.
Well, thank you, Peter. And we're going to offer some classes coming up where we get into more of the sacred geometry and teach it more publicly. So I haven't taught it publicly yet. We're just revealing it now for the first time.
No, I'm excited that this is such an initiatory opportunity. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Peter, for giving me the opportunity to talk about this.
Great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.